Attitude of gratitude. My grandfather said it. Maybe yours did as well. Today, we understand that from a biblical perspective with Dr. Don Wilton. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And today, his message, Gratitude for Spiritual Growth, is a perfect thing for us to embrace here in this time of Thanksgiving. We just want you to know that we're so grateful for the opportunity to spend some time in God's Word on a daily basis. We'll head to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 in just a moment. But as we do so, know that we're available for you, even on a holiday. If you'd like to have someone pray with you and for you, our team is ready to take your call right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather go keyboard to keyboard, we'll meet you online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Thanksgiving is such a wonderful time of the year. And this Thanksgiving, I want us to ask a question that runs very, very deep. If we were given an opportunity to say to our children that we wanted them to have one thing in life to the exclusion of everything else, that would equip them, that would enable them to stay strong. I said, we've been there, we've lived this life. And so as moms and dads, we do what is necessary in order to provide the very best for our children, because we've been there. And on that basis, if we were to say to our children, son, daughter, I want to give you one thing that is going to help you to live this life, it's going to help you to enjoy life. It's going to help you to be able to stay strong in the difficult times of life. What would that one thing be? I wonder what you and I would say. As I began to study 1 Peter chapter 2, God began to speak to my own heart. And I want to share this with you today. And I want you to turn there with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm probably going to break all records this morning, because I'm going to read to you the shortest passage, verse, phrase of Scripture that I think I've ever read in a worship service. Because this one phrase has spoken so much to my own heart at this Thanksgiving time. Now, while you're turning there, I want to say this to you. If we're concerned about the physical well-being of our family members, I think that we would agree, we would say to our sons and daughters, we want you to have good nutrition. No problem with that. We agree with that. We want you to be healthy. We want you to go down to the Nautilus Fitness Center. We want you to take care of your body. We want you to eat right, get the proper exercise that you need. We want you to be well physically. If we were going to talk about our mental well-being, we would have no problem. We would say, son, daughter, I want you to read good books. I want you to be educated. I want you to go to school. I want you to learn. I want you to travel. And we could go on and on. In fact, one of the things that we as a society have every right to be very sad and in fact angry about is when we read about criminal negligence as far as children are concerned. There is nothing that is perhaps more serious than a parent who neglects a child. And every now and again, sadly, in our communities, we hear of an occasion where a child has been left abandoned, or they haven't received the proper food, or something has been done like that, and there are criminal charges that come because of the laws of our land. And we believe in that. But you know something, that the Apostle Peter, writing in the second chapter of his epistle and verse 2, he puts his finger on something. And today I want to speak to you this Thanksgiving on gratitude, not for food, not for family, not for our country, not for all the wonderful things which are wonderful and very necessary, but I want us to have gratitude today for spiritual growth. That's strange. Isn't that the strangest thing to focus on? You see, in verse 2 of chapter 2, listen to what happens, and I'm going to just read this one phrase. It's at the second part of verse 2. You, so that you may grow up in your salvation. Did you see that there? Now, in the King James Version, in the original text, this is what it says. It says, so that you may grow in respect of your salvation. And if you want even a more direct translation, and friends, this is very important to listen to this, that literally means that Peter is saying, so that you may grow in order to receive the full benefits of your salvation. That's what it means to be in respect of your salvation. It means to receive the full benefits of everything that God has done for you and that God has given to you. Did you know that as a believer, God makes all the riches of His grace available to us? We have this unbelievably gigantic, eternal reservoir that we can tap into of God's strength, whereby God offers to nourish us as we move through the fabric of our human existence. And I'm going to say to you that I'm going to agree today and give God thanks for spiritual growth. I'm going to say here to you as a congregation, as God says to my own heart and as He speaks to all of us today, that it is absolutely paramount that about of all the things that we do, that we focus our minds on growing spiritually strong. Now, folks, watch me. And I want to say this as lovingly as I possibly can. There are some here today who are worshiping with us. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've trusted Him, but you are not growing spiritually. You have made a decision, and through your actions and activities, you are being deprived of all that God has made available to you, and you are not growing spiritually. Peter puts it like this. He says, like newborn babies, John and Andrea. What he is saying is simply this, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow strong and be equipped and receive that which God has made available to you throughout the fabric of your human experience. You see, when you grow strong spiritually, you're going to be able to handle the good times and the bad times. Do you know that there are many, many believers today? God pours out His blessings upon them, but they don't know how to handle blessings. Do you know why? Because they haven't grown spiritually. I'll show you businessmen today that God has blessed. Businessmen, business ladies, God has blessed you in business. And because God has blessed you and you've had this outpouring of God's grace, it is the most wonderful thing, but you don't know how to handle it. Many times a business person who's a believer, who's blessed, who hasn't grown spiritually, once they are blessed in business, they take off at an angle and they begin to serve themselves. They become I-directed instead of God-directed. They become receivers instead of givers, or they begin to give with strings attached. They begin to give of their blessings so that they would get the glory rather than that God would get the glory. You see, they are not strong spiritually. Likewise, people who hurt and suffer, people who are deprived, people who have found themselves in the most awful predicaments, who have not grown spiritually, they have nothing upon which to stand. There are many examples of this in the Scriptures. I share just four of them with you. Demas, spelled D-E-M-A-S. Demas was someone who knew Jesus Christ, but he had fallen away. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says this, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica," Paul said. There was Aquila and Priscilla. Here's an example of a couple who knew Jesus Christ, and they represent slow but steady growth. I love Aquila and Priscilla. came to know Christ, but slow and steady growth in the Lord. Listen to Acts chapter 18 and verse 26. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and began to explain to him the word of God more accurately. We have a word for people like Aquila. We call them steady Freddies. This is the people you can just depend on. They're the salt of the earth. They're always there. And the Bible tells us that these two people, unlike Demas, who fell away. Now, folks, if you're a believer, you can't fall away and lose your salvation. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can fall away and lose the benefit of your salvation. You can be deprived of all the riches of God's grace. In Priscilla and Aquila's example, these people just were steady. They began to grow. A third example is John Mark. John Mark is someone who drifted away from God but came back. He returned and came back renewed in his spirit. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is also called Mark. By the way, that's why we call him John Mark. The Bible calls him that. And we read about that many, many times. Acts chapter 15. Listen to what happened. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 37, John Mark actually drifted away. Paul kept on insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted him in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, all of a sudden Paul says, only Luke is with me, so Luke, why don't you go and pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. What about John Mark? John Mark was a man who had messed up, he had drifted away, but he came back. He returned and he was renewed, and God blessed him because he was growing strong.
Please forgive the interruption. You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton on The Encouraging Word, and we want to remind you, we're here for you. We'd love to talk and pray with you anytime at the 866-899-WORD number. That's 866-899-9673. Or let's connect online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, the perfect place to connect with resources that will help you grow. Now back to today's message.
Another example would be an obvious one, Paul. Paul was a man who from the Damascus Road experience immediately began to grow spiritually. And so what happened to Paul? Because of his spiritual growth, Paul was able to stay strong in difficult times. Let me read to you about it. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He said, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You'd say to me today, Pastor, what is one thing that I can insist upon for my children? It's right here in chapter 2 and verse 2 where the apostle says, listen, I beg of you. You see, this, my friend, is not a suggestion. This is not some kind of little advice that Peter is giving to us. It's an imperative. It's an absolute command. He says, I insist that you crave spiritual milk in order that you may grow spiritually. Folks, watch me. Everybody watch me. Some of you today are not growing spiritually. Some of you are not growing spiritually. Now I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. I'm going to do something very practical. I hope you've got your pens out there. I'm going to give you my top 10 list that may tell you that you're not growing spiritually. Here are the top 10 signs that you're not growing spiritually. Are you ready for this? All right? All right, number 10. You have to watch your language at church or around certain people. That's a sign that you're not growing spiritually. If your language is different when you're not at church, when you come to church or when you're around certain people, you got to be very careful. what you say. That's a sign that you're not growing spiritually. Number nine. You have to hide certain items in your grocery cart in case someone might see them. Do I see some people looking nervous here this morning? There it is. You have to hide certain items in your grocery cart just in case someone may see them. That's a sign that you're not growing spiritually. You know, when you have to put the peanut butter and the ketchup and everything on top of whatever it is, and when you go up to pay at the cashier, you're in a state of nervous tension because someone may see what's in your grocery cart. That's a sign, perhaps, that you're not growing spiritually. Number eight. You have never talked to anyone about the Lord Jesus Christ, or it was so long ago you cannot remember it. That's a sign that you're not growing spiritually. All right, let's just turn that around a little bit. When last did you talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, be honest now, folks. You talk to the Lord about this. It's a sign that you're not growing spiritually. Now, I'm talking to believers here, folks. You love the Lord. You've given your heart to Jesus Christ. But you have not talked to anyone about the Lord. And if you did, quite frankly, it was a long time ago. You cannot remember it. Number seven. Here's a tough one now. No one outside of your church even knows that you're a Christian. And if they did, it would embarrass you. Now that's a sign that you're not growing spiritually. So I want you to go with me. I want you to move to tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, you're at work. You're at your place of business. Young people, you're at school. College students, you're on that college campus. You're at Wofford or Converse. Nobody else knows that you're a Christian. Now, you're in church this morning. That's great. And you may be seated next to a friend who goes to church with you, and they know, but nobody else knows you're a Christian. And if they did find out, it would embarrass you. Now, folks, I've been there. I'm just telling you. When I was in the army, I nearly died one time when someone came up to me and said, "Did I hear somewhere that your father's a preacher?" Boy, I tell you what, I wanted to climb under the sand there. I mean, I was so embarrassed. Someone found out my father was a minister. I mean, let alone asking me if I was a Christian. That's a sure sign you're not growing spiritually. All right? Number six. Now, here's a very tough one. You've got to listen to this. You know more about your favorite ball team than you do about the apostles in the Bible. Listen, when it comes to Clemson and the Gamecocks or the Panthers or the New Orleans Saints or Wofford or Converse, whatever you are, your favorite ball team, you know about them, you know who plays where, what position, you know when the coach is fired, you get all the newspaper articles, who's been hired, you speculate. You know all these things. You know all the details about your favorite ball team. And you know far more about your ball team than you do about the apostles. That is a sign that you're not growing spiritually. All right? Number five. You have not memorized any scriptures since you were in vacation Bible school. That's a sure sign that you're not growing spiritually. Uh-oh. I think we're touching a few nerves here this morning. You remember when you went to vacation Bible school? We love it here at First Baptist. Man, we'll have 800 children or whatever here. And boy, you remember those days when you stood and you studied and you memorized scripture and you stood to attention and you quoted and you got stars and you went to Awana and they put this on you and that. It was just wonderful. But since that time, quite honestly, before the Lord, you've never learnt another verse of scripture. All right. Number four. You are absolutely convinced that the story of King Midas is in the Bible. Now, there's a sign right there that you're not growing spiritually. By the way, I had several I wanted to put in along that line, but I thought I'd just stop with King Midas. All right? You're absolutely convinced that he is in the Bible. I mean, I was even thinking of Santa Claus. Santa Claus is in the Scripture. Okay. You're absolutely convinced. Number three. The only time you give to God is on Sunday morning, if it's convenient. Now, my friends, listen, I'm preaching to the choir this morning. You're all here, and I'm so grateful. But I want you to think about this. If the only time you give to God is on Sunday morning, you probably aren't growing spiritually. Now, some of you fall into that category. I'm going to say to you, it's impossible. You cannot be at church every time the doors open. I'm not advocating that. But if you were to put out your weekly schedule and all the busyness of your life, the things that you have to do, the places you have to be, the games, the carrying children, the work, the decisions, the lunches, and everything else in between, and you find and you discover in your weekly schedule that the only time you've got for God is 1 hour, from 10:50 until 12 o'clock on Sunday mornings, the chances are that you're not growing spiritually. Folks, I want you to watch me. Coming to church once on a Sunday is wonderful. It's wonderful. I pray that God, by His grace, would see the churches of this community packed out on Sunday mornings. But I promise you, you will not grow spiritually if that is the total sum of your spiritual commitment. All right, number two, we're getting down to the bottom here. Sure sign that you're not growing spiritually. If all your prayers sound just like the dinner blessing. That's a good prayer to pray, by the way. I could pray one right now and settle down to a good meal. But if all your prayers sound just like the dinner blessing, they're the same old thing. Lord, bless us and bless this food and everybody around this table. Amen. And all your prayers, it's probably a sign that you're not growing spiritually. And then number one, you can't find your Bible. I try to think about what to put in that number one spot. I wouldn't be surprised if there are some who worship with us today that if the truth were known, you can't find your Bible anywhere. The reason you don't come to church with the Bible is because you can't find it. Now be honest before God. You love the Lord. You've given your heart to Him. You've been forgiven of your sin. But you don't know where your Bible is. Maybe when you do find it, you dust it off and maybe look up something in time of need and then it goes back on the shelf again. 10 signs that perhaps would indicate that you're not growing spiritually. Listen to what Peter says. Peter says, so that by it, what? By the craving after spiritual food, so that by it you may grow spiritually in respect of your salvation. This Thanksgiving, I want us to think about gratitude for spiritual growth. It is very important. It is important for married couples and couples about to be married and college students and young people and moms and dads and widows and widowers. So the question becomes, if these are signs that I'm not growing spiritually, and God is speaking to me about it, how can I grow spiritually? What are some of the things that I can do in order to be strong, in order to stay strong in difficult times? Let me give you some suggestions. Number one, get involved in a Bible study class. Get involved in a Bible study class. Now, folks, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand this morning. All right? But if I was to say to you this morning, how many of you went to Bible study this morning, I wonder how many of you could put up your hands. I will never quit saying to you, you must get involved in Bible study. You must do that. Some of you are going to say to me, Pastor, but I don't have the time. I can only get up by 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We've got all kinds of reasons. God will bless you. When you come into a Sunday school Bible study, here's what happens. You will fellowship with people. You will receive instruction in the Word of God from a wonderful teacher. You will find support in your time of need, and when you suffer in certain ways, those are the people who are going to rally around you. It just amazes me. Every time I go to the hospital, every time there's a crisis, there are always Sunday school and Bible study members that are there. You want to say, Pastor, what can I do to grow spiritually? You need to get involved, not one on and one off, every week in a Bible study class. Number two, You need to develop a personal plan for studying the Bible and cultivating the habit of having your own quiet time every day. Now, folks, this is very difficult to do. I'm going to stand here today, I'm going to tell you it is the single most difficult thing that I grapple with as a pastor, and that may surprise you. Say, oh no, preacher man, you folks, there is a difference between me studying the Word of God and preparing to feed God's sheep and studying the Word of God so that God could feed this sheep. I have to discipline myself, and it's difficult because I don't have time to do it. But I want you to know, in order for you to grow spiritually, you must develop a plan. If you don't have one, come and ask us. I'd love to help you and to show you. Number three, you want to grow spiritually, come to church more often than on Sunday mornings only. More often. Number four, attempt to share your faith with someone. Go and talk to someone about the Lord. Number five, pray for lost people. That'll help you to grow spiritually. Number six, discover what God would have you to do in service for Him. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do to serve you? You see, folks, the Christian life is so much more than just listening. It's doing.
Well, we've listened and we've heard the truth of God's Word. I pray you've heard more than Dr. Wilton. I know that's what his prayer is, that you would hear instead the Word of God come to life and remind you that you are loved and pursued by God. Before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Welcome to the family of God. Some of you I know have prayed to receive Christ for the first time, some rededicating your life. Either way, we have wonderful resources we want to put in your hands. You just need to call and let us know at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Every single day, every 24-hour period, somebody new says yes to Jesus Christ. And we do that together with a group we call Encouragers.
We need your support. Will you join us in our endeavor to reach just one more? We would love for you to become a monthly supporter of the Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request information on how you can help support the work of the Encouraging Word. Call today, 866-899-9673. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but join us online between now and tomorrow's great broadcast. You can meet us at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org.